I'm Mark Bayshore. Welcome back. A key figure in Michigan government and policy is returning to work at the state capitol after years away. Dan Perot served as chief of staff and campaign manager for three-term Republican Governor John Engler. Altogether, he spent more than 35 years in state government, grassroots organizing, and public affairs. In January, Mr. Perot will become the chief of staff for incoming Speaker of the Michigan House, Tom Leonard of DeWitt. A pleasure to welcome Dan Perot to Current State.
Thank you, Mark. It's good to be here.
I'm glad you're here. Some number of people with your experience might say, been there, done that, if offered a position like the one you're taking. You didn't. Why not?
Well, it's an opportunity, really, to go back to where I started. You mentioned 30 plus years. I started in the House of Representatives back 41 years ago as a young staff guy before the renovation of the Capitol was done. It was a mess there. Our party was a mess. We had only, I think, 38 members, so working in the minority. Started in constituent relations as a individual who wrote speeches and solved problems for people. And
38 Republicans in the House?
In the House, yeah.
Wow.
We didn't have much say in anything back then. It's interesting that the Speaker's office now, if you go into the Speaker's office, it, when I started, there was what was called an overfloor there. That is, the beautiful space was divided by another floor. So you took stairs upstairs into another set of offices, and that's where I worked for a couple of years. So it's good to be back. There's a lot going on in this state. I enjoyed the time when I was with Governor Engler. There's important work to be done, and I have an opportunity to do it. Here's an opportunity to close the circle, so to speak.
Have you continued to follow state government closely in the legislature, or does it require a certain amount of reintroduction to what's going on at the Capitol?
A little bit of reintroduction. I often still make the wrong turn coming out of the elevator in terms of looking for the offices. So I've learned that north and west is where I need to go. But the chamber's the same. The players are all different. I mean, with term limits, so there's really no one there that would have been there when I served with Governor Engler. They've all moved on, and so they're new people. But, you know, the thing that strikes me, the similarity, is that they all care just as much. And it doesn't matter if they've got an R by their name or a D. They care about the state of Michigan. They want to do the right thing. The differences exist in terms of how to get there. And with Tom Leonard as our new speaker coming in, this is an individual who I've come to know over the last year. He's one who believes in reaching out. He believes he's got a tremendous civility about him. So I think you're going to see a very civil 2 years with him in leadership. And I think with the team he's built around him, you're going to see a lot get done.
I'm wondering if you'll confirm or deny something that we've heard from a reliable source, but one that needs to remain unnamed, namely that Mr. Leonard's interested in becoming Attorney General someday and that part of your charge is to help him in a way that would enhance that possibility. What can you tell us?
Well, I tend to work on unreliable on public sources, so I think that's a question you ought to ask to Tom. I've been brought in to, and what I was asked to do is come in and lead a terrific staff, good policy staff, good legislative staff, good communications people. We got over 20 new members coming in to try to provide some sense of history, perhaps, of some ideas that I've had that I've been around longer than everybody else, to sort of help sort of Tom lead that area. And so my focus is on him being the best speaker he can be.
You're kind of an antidote to term limits, really, in a way.
Oh,
is
maybe.
Is it fair to look at it that way?
I left as term limits was coming in.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, I was there from 91 to 94. People voted in 94 to bring term limits in. And, of course, we've seen the good and the bad of that.
The big news today, and again, I know you've got to get up to speed here on a number of policy things, but the big news today is energy policy. It's still got legs. They managed to pass this at the 11th hour. It preserves the electric choice market but would bump the renewable percentage up. Do you follow that closely enough to have any thoughts on that?
Well, what I followed was the process here, and I think that kudos to Governor Snyder for his willingness to come in and strike a compromise that everyone was able to live with. I think that he deserves a lot of credit for that. I think for all of those who may have put aside their own politics to look at what was the best long-term interest of the state, I mean, it got passed with over 70 votes. That's a tribute to the hard work of folks on both sides that compromised, those for choice, those for those that had other issues, and they came together to do what's really what's best. And I think what people are looking for here was what's the answer we're going to have to meet capacity issues in the future. We've got a lot of plants, energy-producing entities that are closing, and the strong feeling is that this bill will help do that. It'll help conserve choice, and hopefully it'll keep rates steady, and so people don't have to, you know, see their electric bills, go up as we build these new facilities. And we're going to need new facilities. And you take one offline, okay, but you take two, three, four, five offline, you got to look, where are we going to get the capacity to make sure we don't go dark, particularly in this five below winter we're about to experience this next couple of days.
Dan Perot is my guest. Mr. Perot is a longtime Michigan government and policy professional, former chief of staff for Governor John Engler. He returns to the state capitol next year as chief of staff for incoming Speaker of the House, Tom Leonard of DeWitt. Governor Snyder's Infrastructure Commission says it would take, if memory serves, $4 billion a year for some number of years to get 20, I think, to get the state's roads, bridges, and so on where, arguably, they ought to be. How big a deal is infrastructure? How big a deal do you think it'll be next session?
Well, I think infrastructure is going to be a big issue. Of course, President-elect Trump has indicated that one of his priorities is going to be on fixing the infrastructure in this country. He's indicated he would envision having to spend about $1 trillion. That's a lot of money. But we have a lot of problems. And so I think what you're going to see, perhaps, is sort of a wait-and-see attitude to see what happens in Washington. If legislation's passed there, what's the impact on the states? How do we work with that? And then, but I do believe here that folks, again, Democrat and Republican, recognize that we do have infrastructure problems. We have water systems that are built at the turn of the century that need to be repaired. We got bridges. We got roads that need to be fixed. We've seen in Flint just what happened there with their water lines that were put in decades ago with lead. And what happened here in Lansing, fortunately here in Lansing, we had the resources to get all that out of the ground and fix that problem before it really became serious. So, yeah, we've got serious issues. What's going to be the challenge, Mark, is for those that we recognize we've got that issue, it always comes down to the money. Mm-hmm. And how much money do we have?
And if that's a mountain of money.
It's a mountain of money. And if we're going to invest here, then we're going to pull something else somewhere else. Because I also think, at least, the Republicans understand, we don't want to be raising taxes on people. People are paying enough, so they're looking for ways that we can cut taxes, spur the economy, get more money in that way, and then use that to pay for the repairs that we need. That's what President-elect Trump's looking to do, and I'm sure that'll be one of the first things that we would look at here.
Would you be supportive of Bill Schuette for governor in 2018?
I know Bill. I've known Bill a long time, but again, my job is to work in the House, and no one cares what I think.
I beg to differ. But Donald Trump is the first Republican candidate to take Michigan since 1988. What's your takeaway from that?
I'm so excited. I'm excited for our country. I'm excited what this means for Michigan. I'm so excited for Ronna Romney, who helped steer us there. I remember my wife was the Michigan manager for George Bush in 92, and that was a disappointing time for all of us. I think that President Trump understands what's going on and the kitchen table issues in this country, particularly here in Michigan. His work about and ideas to sort of, I guess, turbocharge the manufacturing industry again and to create jobs here is important. Michigan's a state that makes things, and we've always made things. We're the arsenal of democracy. Donald Trump got that. The election's over. Now we got to focus on moving ahead. And I think Tom Leonard understands that too, which is why one of his focus points in Governor Snyder's on the skilled trades. Skilled trades, those are the folks, the men and women that make stuff. And that's what makes Michigan special.
Unlike 1975, there are lots of Republican governors these days, lots of Republican state legislatures. Now, success at the federal level. You mentioned Betsy DeVos and Ronna Romney McDaniel, Michigan residents who are both playing big roles nationally here now. What accounts, broadly, from 10 miles up, Dan Perot, what accounts for the rising electoral success of the GOP?
We're where the people are at. We understand the ache that people feel. We understand what they're looking for is jobs, economic security, national security. They want their families safe. They want to be able to focus on their issues, kitchen table issues, their budgets. And the Republican Party, whether it's been in Indiana or Michigan or through the swaths of states in the South, county by county, state legislature by state legislature, we get that. We want less government. We want people to run their own lives. Yeah, that's something we've been talking about for a long time, but it's why we're where we're at. You look at that electoral map, and you look at the red versus the blue, that sort of spells it out. And the Republican Party, with Paul Ryan as Speaker and Mitch McConnell and now President Trump leading the way, and all of these governors, Governor Snyder here, they understand that. And believe me, if we were missing the mark, we wouldn't be where we're at. But we aren't. We're on target with less taxes, less regulation, poor growth. And that's why we're a strong party, and we'll continue to be a strong party. Because I don't see anything that the Democrats are offering nationally or in Michigan that would align them with any policy that would put them in the majority.
Donald Trump has been in the news almost constantly, often for comments that millions of Americans consider outrageous or offensive or untrue. I could pick from a dozen. Have any of those episodes tested your support for him?
Well, you know, he said some things that were pretty goofy. But I have to look beyond that.
It's worse than goofy, isn't it?
Well, but we had two choices. We're all flawed people. And the choice was Donald Trump, who offered economic growth, a stronger economy, stronger national security, or Hillary Clinton, who was a proven liar, and who was wrong on foreign policy time after time after time, who offered nothing to the American people. But it makes no sense to go back and rejudicate that. Now we got to look to the future. The American people rejected her. Her popular vote margin primarily came out of California. And now you see California wants to be their own nation, so that sort of tells you where they're at. And so I think that, you know, President Trump, we're about looking forward now, Mark. The election's over.
He is renowned for his tweets, and you are a communications guy, amongst other things. If he came to you and asked if he should stop tweeting, what would you advise?
Well, he's not going to stop tweeting. I think it would help if he had someone sort of edit the tweets before they go out. But that's how he communicates. We're in a new era. The old way of communicating like we're doing here today, I mean, we're dinosaurs. It's just, you know, what President Trump has shown and others get, and President Obama to some extent, that the old relationship with media and press and their elected leaders is changing. The old press coverage is changing. Now, elected officials, whether it's President Trump or a senator or a governor or whatever, they can develop their own communication tools to go around you guys. And I think that's going to be the wave of the future, and people are going to have to sort out what they hear. You can hold them accountable, but the need for you to communicate their message or their views, that's gone the way of the buggy whip.
Dan Perot is a longtime Michigan government and policy professional, former chief of staff for Governor John Engler. He returns to the state capitol in 2017 as chief of staff for incoming Speaker of the House, Tom Leonard of DeWitt. Dan Perot, great to talk to you.
Good to talk with you, and good luck with your program and the rest of the year. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you.